We'd ask you please to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Chapter Pastor Jake read for us this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is the last chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians. And here we have some of the final admonitions of the Apostle Paul to this very gifted yet really very dysfunctional church. And this last chapter would be, if you can imagine, going through a lengthy counseling session where maybe you are being counseled for weeks and weeks and weeks. This would be like the final admonition on that last day when your counseling would be over. And so here he is admonishing them. And the section that I want to deal with in this chapter only encompasses two verses. Verses 13 and 14. So let me read those again. Verses 13 and 14, where Paul says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity." And I hope over the next several weeks to be able to cover a lot of that. Today we'll just be in verse 13, but carry on from week to week. But in these verses, what we see are actually five imperatives where the Apostle Paul commands the church in certain areas. See, the Apostle Paul understands the battle that the church is in. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're in a battle. And our church is in a battle. And so, after all the admonitions through the first 15 chapters of 1 Corinthians, he's kind of settling down and saying, look, these are important things for you to consider if you're going to continue on in living for God and accomplishing his purposes. And so he gives five commands here. He says, be watchful. He says, stand fast. He says, quit you or act like men. Be strong. Do everything in love. And what's interesting is you read through the book of 1 Corinthians, you see that this church fell short in every one of those things. They failed in every one of these things. And the Corinthians did, but we also know that no church is immune to these things. Every church deals with these kinds of things. Failures, neglect in the principles of God's word. But notice in verse 13, the very first thing that he tells them as he's moving forward, he says, you need to watch. Be watchful. And how might we say that today? If we say you had a teenager and your teenager was going to get his driver's test, he was going to his driver's test, would you say something like, now watch ye, listen to the instructions of the DMV officer, lest ye forsooth fall short. No, you might say something like this, be careful. Be careful, be watchful, be alert. And so that's Paul's first admonition. You're on a road that God has placed before you. You are going to encounter all kinds of opposition from the world. You need to be careful. You need to be watchful. Be on guard. Stay awake. We've talked about that. We just had a week of revival meetings, right? Revival means to be awake, to be awakened, be on guard. And the Corinthians, as you read through this book, they seem normally to be in a state of spiritual and moral dullness. This was a dull group of believers. We believe they were saved, right? But they were struggling with doing right. And Paul even rebuked them for their physical dullness when they got drunk at their love feast that were supposed to be the Lord's Supper. And the Corinthians were not watchful by any means whatsoever. They had allowed many of their own pagan influences and habits to come back into their lives, and it actually hindered their faithfulness to God. And the Apostle Paul has to deal with this. Not only did it affect their relationship with God, it affected their relationship with other believers. And folks, don't you understand that for us to accomplish our work as a church, we've got to be right with God. I mean, that should not have to be said, right? But we also have to be right with each other. Amen. We also have to be of one mind and one accord, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. And that was not the case here in this church at Corinth. They had fallen into many of the devil's traps. Why do people fall into traps? Because they're not watching. They're not watching. I heard a Vietnam vet I knew once who used to say there are two ways to know that if you are in an area that is booby-trapped. One way you know is that you are observant and you can see the traps. You see the disturbed dirt, or you see the fine line that would trip the trap, and you take measures to not fall into the trap. You see, the other way you know is that you fall into one because you're careless. And folks, that's how it is for us as believers also. We have an enemy that's out there trying to set traps for us constantly. And we have got to be careful. We have got to be watchful. In the New Testament, we are encouraged to be watchful in at least four different areas. And the first one, I'm going to ask you to jump over in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We need to be watchful concerning, look, 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8, it says this. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So the word vigilant there in verse 8 is the same word that we saw translated "watch ye" in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. And so he's saying, be vigilant, be watchful, because the devil is out there. And this is what he's like, a roaring lion. Right? I think all of us would have sort of a fear of a roaring lion. If we knew that we were in a vicinity where there were roaring lions, I think that we'd be fearful of that. And that's Peter's point. You need to be aware of that. You need to be watchful. You need to be fearful. And so the devil is described as this fierce, powerful, hungry animal that is set out to destroy. And he's walking about seeking Christians that he could devour, that he could ruin their lives and their testimonies for Christ. And this is an animal that would take quiet advantage of the carelessness of its prey, hoping to somehow sneak up on its prey unawares so that it could catch him off guard. Why? So they could devour him. That's how lions are. And that's how the devil is. And that's what he's up to, folks, right now. The devil wants to destroy you right now. You better be watchful. You better be careful. Peter says in verse 9, whom, referring to the devil, resist steadfast in the faith. How do we resist the devil? We resist the devil by the grace of God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has bestowed upon you grace to enable you to do that, and we resist him by that grace, but that resistance begins with our watchfulness. God will give you the grace to be watchful, to be alert. Let me tell you something. Whenever you get an urge to be angry, or an urge to fulfill youthful lust, or an impulse to gossip, all of those are tactics of the devil. The devil wants you to fall into those things. And when we resist those things, right, we resist the temptation to be angry or lust, youthful lust or whatever. When we resist them, we're resisting him and his effort to try to cause us to sin. But we've got to be watchful for things, and we need to be vigilant in resisting those things. Well, the second thing that we are told to be watchful of and to be alert of is temptation. Jesus said in Mark chapter 4 and verse 38, he said, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." That was Mark 14, 38. Listen, if we're not watching and we're not praying for God's grace, we may not even notice temptation when it comes. Temptation itself is not sin. To be tempted is not to sin. Temptation is an enticement to sin, But we don't have to yield to that enticement. Amen. Temptation is being lured into sin. I don't know how many of you are fishermen. I'm not. But I know what a lure is. And if you want to see some amazing lures, you should get together with Brother Joe Sienna. Joe has the biggest lures I've ever seen. Johnny, I think, has a bunch of them, too. But, they've got lures. I mean, what do you catch with something this big, right? But anyway, what is a lure? A lure is it's a little device that is actually an illusion, isn't it? Right? It's pretending to be something it's not for the purpose of catching something. That's what a lure does. And do you know that the fish is not in any danger by looking at those lures? I can tell you because they looked at mine. And they were absolutely no danger of being caught, apparently. But they are. When they look at those lures, they're not in any danger at all until they are enticed by that lure. And they think it's actually something that will satisfy some need. And then they attack it, and then they are caught. Like Eve in the garden, Genesis 3:6 tells us, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat." Jesus says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Paul is telling the Corinthians, watch. You people are tripping every step of the way. You've got to be watchful of the wiles of the wicked one. The third thing we need to be watchful for is lethargy. What is it to be lethargic? Have you ever gone through one of those days and somebody says to you, what's going on? You say, oh, I'm just lethargic. Right? It means that you're tired. You just don't want to do anything. Apathetic. And there's a danger for Christians becoming that way. Becoming lethargic. I'm going to ask you to jump over in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. And here we have an example of just what I'm talking about. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 1, we're introduced to a church. It's the church at Sardis. It says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He says to them, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, but art dead. So this was a church that visually was alive. If you were to visit that church and maybe you really weren't discerning, you would think, wow, this is a great church. This church is doing some good things. They had a name that they were alive, but from God's perspective, spiritually, they were what? This is from God's perspective. They were dead. These people were active, but they weren't very spiritual. They were accomplishing things, but not for God's glory. They'd become apathetic and indifferent folks to the things that really matter to God. And that's all that matters, is what matters to God. And so the Lord exhorts them in verse 2 with the same command that Paul gave the Corinthians, where he says, what's the first two words of verse 2? Be watchful. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. You know, when we look at the contemporary church today, we see several of the important biblical concepts that are ready to die. You know, folks, nobody wants to talk about holy living anymore. Nobody wants to talk about what it is to be righteous. I mean, even things like modesty or selfless worship or temperance, all of those things have been kind of given a back seat to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Christians have embraced those things, and we wonder, why do we not have any power? Why do we not see the working of God that we have before? Well, the Lord says, be watchful, strengthen, shore those things up, because, he says, I have found thy works, I have not found thy works perfect before God. And then verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. You know, folks, we have a generation today that does not want to hold fast. We have a generation today that wants to please ourselves. We want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, in Christ. And that never worked. The truth, people are putting off the truths that were taught to them. Young people are putting off the things that their parents taught them, their spiritual authorities, and in their stubbornness and rebellion, they choose to do that which is right in their own eyes. And they'll say things like this: well, I think it ought to be this way. Or I think it ought to be that way. Well, it doesn't matter what you think.
Amen.
What matters is what God says.
Amen.
And we have to organize our lives according to the truth of the Word of God. Just like he says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Be watchful of spiritual lethargy. Right? There's all kinds of things in our lives that will cause us to be lethargic, to be apathetic. Maybe you got hurt by somebody. Maybe somebody offended you. And it causes you to step back and not do everything you can for the Lord. Be watchful of that. When you find yourselves at odds with the sound teaching of your godly parents or of your church, be alert. Be watchful of that. Rethink your attitudes. Watch out for that kind of lethargy. Because it's possible, even as we see here, to give the appearance of being alive and yet in reality being spiritually dead, unresponsive to any spiritual growth, any kind of spiritual nourishment. Be watchful. Be on guard against the traps that are set by the world. The world, the devil, and your flesh are always out there trying to set traps for you. You've got to be watchful. Along with being watchful, you've got to be guided by the Word of God. See, the Word of God is our light.
Amen.
Right? And oftentimes, we walk through some very, very dark places. And the only way we can see where to step and to be watchful and to ensure that we're not falling into some kind of trap is to have the light of the Word of God. That means you need to be a student of the Word of God. Right? Not just somebody that reads it. It's good. If you're reading your Bible, I want to encourage you, read your Bible every day. Right? Our kids sing a song down in Children's Church. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you know that song. We could probably all sing it together, right? But we won't. But you get the idea. Right? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow spiritually. You know what that does? It will illumine your thinking and your sight spiritually so that being watchful, you will be careful not to fall into the traps. Because the devil wants you to fall into a trap. So we have to be watchful. So this is the first command, if you want to jump back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The first command in verse 13 is watch ye. Be watchful. The devil wants to lull you to sleep. But you need to be watchful. Well, the second thing, notice, in verse 13, after being watchful, is to stand fast in the faith. Now, the Corinthians, just like the Ephesians, were being carried about by every wind of doctrine. And folks, they didn't even have the internet. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have email. They didn't have television. And yet they were carried away by every wind of doctrine. Think of how much more easy it is for us to be influenced by these same kinds of things. The media that we have is constantly promoting these vile, wicked ways. Every wind of doctrine, and we see it in our society, right? And there are churches that are embracing a lot of these philosophies. That's why Paul says you got to watch, but you've also got to stand fast in that which is true. And so they were being carried about. They were wavering to and fro. They were beguiled by enticing words. And we like to think, oh, I would never be deceived. But how many times do scripture writers have to tell us, be not deceived. Be not deceived. You are so gullible. You think you're so smart, but let me tell you something. The devil's been around a long time. He knows how to deceive you. and he will deceive you. So you've got to be on guard. You've got to stand fast. People love to hear words, especially if somebody's telling you how good you are. You know, only those who are really smart would embrace this kind of philosophy. You look like the kind of guy that's really smart and get you to believe that kind of philosophy. The apostle has to exhort them to take a firm stand, because even our own flesh can be weakened by that kind of talk. So we've got to take a firm stand to fortify and reinforce our spiritual foundation. Again, where's that spiritual foundation? It's in Jesus Christ. And so what that means is, for you to even have the beginning of that foundation, you have to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And I don't mean just know about him. I mean, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the only way you can be reconciled to God. The Bible is very clear that all of us are sinners. You know, I'm thankful that that was one statement I never argued with. I talk to people all the time when I tell them the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They say, well, I'm not a sinner. I never had that problem. I readily acknowledge, yep, that's where I am. And that's the beginning of reconciliation to God, where you recognize that you're a sinner. But the fact of the matter is that because we're in that condition, we're born in that condition, we are separated from God. Every one of us are born in a condition where if we were to die without being reconciled to God, we would all be cast into hell and ultimately the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. That's an awful condition. But God loved us so much and didn't want that for us. He provided a means for sinful men like you and I to be reconciled to God, but we couldn't do it ourselves. There was no good thing that any of us could accomplish to merit righteousness with God. So God provided his own son, his own perfect son, to hang upon the cross. When he hung upon the cross, he put your sins and my sins upon him. And when he did that, he poured out his wrath upon your sin and my sin in the place of his son. His son took the brunt of our punishment. He paid the penalty for our sin. He died for our sin. But by the power of God, he rose again. He overcame the power of death and sin. And he is right now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our Savior is alive. And he's making intercession for us now. He provided a means for you to have your sins forgiven. What you have to do is believe that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. God promises, and you shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants us to believe that Jesus is the only way for us to get to heaven. If you believe that, then he'll wash your sins away. He'll make you a child of God. He will forgive you for your sins. He will justify you and sanctify you and give you a place in heaven eternally. He'll give you eternal life. But it takes you believing on him. And once you do that, you also become a soldier in God's army.
Amen.
And what Paul is writing about here, he's writing to soldiers in God's army. Soldiers, you need to be watchful. And you need to stand fast. Your foundation must be upon Jesus Christ. But how do we strengthen the foundation? In the word that God has given to us. That's how we build and strengthen our foundation, by being men and women in the word of God. That word faith that Paul is referring to here, he's not talking about believing faith, right? We are saved by faith. But what Paul is talking about here is, and you know this because of the simple article, the, where he talks about the faith. And whenever we see the word faith with the article the, we understand that what he's referring to, the faith, is referring to biblical truth. It's referring to that truth that we believe in, that we are guided by. All right? For us to get there, we have to have faith. But he's talking about that word of God. It's as Jude says in Jude verse 3. He exhorts his readers to earnestly contend for the faith. You don't have to keep contending to have faith to be saved. But what he's talking about is that body of doctrine that makes up all truth in the Word of God that we believe in. He says, contend for that. Believe in that. Stand fast in that. It's what we believe to be saved. It's what we believe and obey to be sanctified. It's what our hope is in, that one day we'll be with him for all eternity. Now, Satan can't take saving faith from us. He can't. But he can, and he often does, try to blur the content of our faith. He tries to put things in our path that skew the clarity of God's truth. And he'll use our own carelessness. He'll use our own apathy, our lack of concern to do that. Listen, if you're not looking into the Word of God every day, that's going to be a problem for you. If you're not studying the Word of God so that you can gain the resources that God has for you that's revealed in His Word, that's going to be a problem for you. And I can tell you what, the more lax you become, the more apathetic you become, the less like Jesus you will act. That's so true. If we don't hold fast to the truth, folks, you will err. You will embrace some kind of something that is wrong. If we don't hold fast to the right understanding and interpretation of the Word of God, we will most certainly slide into wrong thinking. And we see that worldwide. We see that happening all the time. The Corinthians were saved. You read the first chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you would say, these are wonderful Christians. They were rich in their giftedness, but their neglect and their carelessness caused them to slip into wrong thinking. And folks, listen, wrong thinking creates distorted believing. And distorted believing results in inappropriate Christian behavior. Right? You're going to act the way you believe. And so you've got to believe correctly so that you can act appropriately before God. And you know, many of the Corinthian believers, they had developed a very low view of God's truth. And even considered some of God's truth to be foolish. Have you ever heard a Christian say, oh, that's old fashioned? You know what that's like they're saying? That's foolish. That's fanatical. You know what they're saying? That's foolish. Even Christians believe that some of the truths of God's word are foolish. And they had allowed themselves to be corrupted by their culture. Folks, we have a culture that wants to swarm over us and take over. Human philosophy and wisdom had skewed their mind to what God's view truly was. And by trying to combine God's wisdom with worldly wisdom, folks, it always comes up bad. Always. What happens is it undermines the truth of God's word. Whenever you try to incorporate worldly wisdom into godly wisdom, it dilutes godly wisdom. And it becomes wrong. Paul warned the Corinthians back this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you want, you can turn back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says in verses 18 and 19, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You know, a lot of people in this world think that they're wise. And God looks at them and he laughs because he understands it's worldly wisdom. Listen, you can't mix the wisdom of this world with God's wisdom and expect to get anything but foolishness in God's view. So the Corinthians were under great cultural pressure to embrace the philosophies and embrace the influences of the world and to disregard the clear teaching of Scripture. And every one of us is tempted to do that today. And the devil is very subtle in the way that he tries to do it. And so we have got to be watchful, but we've got to stand fast to the truth as God has revealed it to us. And we're dealing with that each and every day. And for the most part, when you look at the evangelical church of America today, it is not where God would have it to be. Amen. It is not. Amen. We have bowed under the pressure and in many ways conformed to some of the attitudes and thinking of our culture. And Paul commands, no, you've got to stand fast in the faith. This is the faith. You've got to stand fast in the Word of God. The world will dilute this. You've got to stand fast in that and not be conformed to it. Paul told the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. He said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And when he's talking about traditions, he's talking about the word of God that they had preached. Not the traditions of men, but the teachings of the word of God. Listen, biblical truth is challenged every single day of our lives. When we go out into this world, what you can expect is our beliefs to be questioned, and oftentimes our beliefs even to be ridiculed by this world. There will always be that pressure from the world for us to adjust to and adopt to its ways. But remember, Paul told us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, he said, be not conformed to this world. The world wants you to be squeezed into its mold. Paul says, don't let it happen. And the very fact that he has to warn us is a warning to us that it's possible for us to let it happen. The world can't conform you to itself without you letting it. And so he's telling them, don't be conformed to this world. But on the contrary, what does he say? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And folks, renewing here is the idea of being renovated. I don't know how many of you have ever renovated a home. I know a lot of people that have renovated a home. You know one of the first things that has to take place when somebody's renovating a home? Huh? It's got to be ripped out. You know what shows up first? The dumpster. Right? You got to get a big dumpster out there, and then they rip out all of that outdated, insufficient, ugly stuff. Right? And then they put it all with this new, updated, beautiful, efficient stuff. Folks, how are our minds renewed? Well, you got to bring in the dumpster. Right? You got to get rid of all of that ugly stuff that is anti-Bible, anti-God. You need to get rid of those things. And what we're talking about is a regular ingestion and digestion of the Word of God. And I can't reiterate again enough the fact that we need to be men and women of the Word. We got to be watchful. How so? With the Word of God. We've got to stand fast in what? In the Word of God. If we are going to be effective in the world that God has given to us. The regular ingestion and digestion of the Word of God. And if we are to stand fast in the faith, if we are going to be recognized as God's people, as children of God, then we have got to be good students of His Word. To know God, folks, this is the only revelation He has given us that puts everything else in life in context. And as we have the Word of God, then we can discern the mind of God. But if we are not students of the Word of God, then we're hurting ourselves in our spiritual walk. We need to be attentive listeners to God's Word whenever it is taught, whenever it is preached. We need to be students of the Word where we get down and we learn about the Word of God. One of the things that I was taught, and I'm thankful that I was, when I was a young Christian, I had an older Christian say to me, whenever you hear the Word of God preached, you need to take notes. You know why? Because you tend to remember the things you write down. And when you forget, you've got them written down. If you're really concerned about something. Now, I say this to my shame. When I was in school, there were subjects that I was very concerned about. That I really liked. and I would take notes. But there were some that I really didn't care about. And I didn't take notes. And when I didn't take notes, guess what? This is the thing about taking notes. It's not so much the effort of taking notes. It's the idea that someday I'm going to be tested on this stuff. You know, and it's always, you sit there at the day of the test and you're like, man, I wish I'd taken notes. You know, I wish I'd studied that a little bit more because I'm really going to bomb this. Right, and that's one thing if it's algebra. You know, I'm not going to get off on a tangent, but how many of you use algebra? Use algebra every day? Some of you might. Huh? I've used trigonometry, but I don't think I've ever used algebra. But anyway, that really has nothing to do with anything. But when you desire to know God's Word, and I'm talking not just academically, but experientially, you'll do whatever it takes, folks, to try to hold on to what you've heard. Right? It's one thing to leave on a Sunday morning and say, wow, God really spoke to my heart about that. If I were to ask you a week later, what was that God spoke to your heart about? Well, I don't know, but it was a blessing. We remember the blessing. We do. Right? We'll say, ah, what a blessing it was. Oh, yeah? What was it that was a blessing? I don't know. But if you wrote it down, Joyce Smith writes everything down. I could probably ask Joyce what I preached on 3 years ago. And she would be able to tell me. Because she writes everything down. But when you're concerned about something, folks, you would take all the precautions to try to maintain it. And it's good for us to be reminded of Paul's own zeal for the Word of God. This was Paul's attitude for knowing Jesus Christ. He said in Philippians 3, chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything else but loss. If I didn't have anything else, he's saying, and I had the knowledge of Christ, I'd be okay. It would be excellent. He uses that term excellent. You know, I think we all know what it is to sacrifice time and effort and money on things we think are excellent to us. Right? You know, if someone would say, well, what's excellent to you? Just look how much time, money, effort you spend on that thing. And you'll find out what's excellent. Whether it's our job or a video game or a phone or a hobby or even our families. But for us to stand fast in the faith, folks, this body of truth that makes up Christianity, the Word of God must be excellent to us. We must love the Word of God to where we get excited when we think, we get home from work and we say, I've got a few minutes. I can just look into the Word of God. I can just study the Word of God. It must be something that, compared to other good things in our lives, that they would be less valuable than God's Word. We ought to pray for ourselves and our church the way that Epaphras prayed for the Colossians in Colossians 4:12. He prayed that we may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Folks, we don't know what kind of circumstances we will experience from day to day. God does. And God says, look, do you want to be successful? Do you want to be victorious in the Christian walk? Then for you to do that, you've got to be watchful. You've got to be careful where you step. And when you step in a certain place and your faith is challenged, you've got to stand fast in truth. You've got to just be able to hold on to truth. You can't let the philosophies of the world or the opinions of men sway you to where you are less effective for the Lord. That's what he's telling them here. And of course, God is the only one that can do that. May God help us to be watchful. May God help us to stand fast. I do want to reiterate again that you can't be watchful. You can't stand fast unless you're already upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. If you're here today, you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have a testimony and a confidence that if you were to die today, that God would welcome you into heaven as one of his children, then we'd love to show you from God's word how you can have that assurance. And Christian, if God has spoken to your heart at all, maybe the Lord put his finger on some area of apathy or temptation or something that you've just not gotten the victory over. Let me tell you something. God has given you the resources to have victory in him. And we would love to be able to show you from God's word how you can have that victory. If you're here today, you're not saved, we'd love to show you from God's word how to be saved. If you're a Christian that is struggling in their Christian walk, well, we would love to get you involved in the ministry of this church, to be discipled, to be encouraged, to help you to grow in your knowledge of the Word of God. I'll tell you what, you can't know before it happens how great it is to grow in the Word of God, to have somebody there to encourage you along in your walk with Christ. As they reveal to you the truth of God's word and they couple that with their experience in Christ, it is life-changing. And the only one that would discourage you from doing it would be the devil, because the devil knows the power of that kind of ministry. And we'd love to be able to help you. Just see us. Come up and say, you know what, I've never heard of that, but I'd be interested in knowing about that. And we'll show you how we do it, and you're invited to be a part of that. But whatever your need is today, we want to be an encouragement to you. Now, Paul has several other things, and we'll pick up on that next time. But whatever your need is today, won't you allow God to work that in your heart? We would love to be able to help you in any way that we can. And so after the service, hopefully you'll stick around, right? We're having lunch. This is our Dinner on the Ground Sunday. There are like a gazillion kinds of sandwiches down there, and there's always plenty for everybody. And so if you didn't bring a sandwich, don't feel guilty about it. Just come down and enjoy the fellowship. But also, if you have questions about these things, we'd like to be able to help you with that. Just come up to us and say, I want to know more, and we'll help you out. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we do praise you for the truth of your word. And Lord, oftentimes we find that we as believers become ineffective because we haven't been watching. We have fallen into these traps, and oftentimes we don't even recognize it. Lord, we haven't been watchful, or we are easily swayed. We hear someone that has confidence in proclaiming some false truth, and we yield to that. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us to see these admonitions as personal, that we must take individually, that we might accomplish your word. I do thank you, Lord, for all the sandwiches that were made, all of the food that will be provided this afternoon. I pray that you would just bless our fellowship, use the food to nourish us, help us to honor you in all things. And Lord, I pray that you would put an urgency in each of our hearts to be here this afternoon, to hear the preaching of the word once again. And we will give you the glory for it all. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.